Good morning. Well, today our sermon deals with a very hard topic, a topic which we often do not want to talk about, a topic which we often shy away from. But it is a topic that every one of us in this room will be touched by at one point in our life. For as the saying goes, there are two certainties in life, death and taxes. In today's psalm, we are confronted by the topic of death. Now, this psalm is often used in funeral services because of the truths that this psalm reveals to us about death. Now, I am well aware that this is a hard topic to deal with, and it may cause pain to some people in the room today who are mourning. They're mourning the loss of a loved one. But as we look at this psalm today, we can also find great comfort from this psalm in the face of death. So as we approach this tough topic this morning, let me just now pray and ask for God's care to be upon us now. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you now as your children, asking for your care on us this morning as we deal with your word here today. Lord, we especially bring before you those who are hurting this morning from the loss of a loved one. We pray as we open up your word today that you would be speaking to us of your great love, which you have shown to us through your Son. And we pray this in your Son's name and for your glory. Amen. Well, the year 2020 was set to be a year full of hope, full of optimism. It was the year set down to obtaining goals. By 2020, we would have achieved this. By 2020, we would have accomplished that. But instead, 2020 has gone down in history as a year that many people just wanted to forget. A year which people just wanted to restart, to start afresh. For 2020 was set to highlight humanity's greatness. But the reality of 2020 instead showed us our frailty, doesn't it? The worldwide COVID-19 pandemic has shown us that even though we as humans think we are in control, the stark reality is this: we are not in control. And even with all our medical advancements that we have today, death is still ever present. And as we turn to our psalm today, it speaks to this very point. Listen to the psalmist's words here from verse 3. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that had just gone by, or a night's watch. You sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like new grass in the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered." See, the psalmist here, he's conveying the point that life is short and death awaits everyone. And he hammers this point home when you look at the context of these verses that I've just read with the opening verses of the psalm. For in the opening verses of the psalm, we see that God is eternal. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Now, at this point, we may be asking ourselves, why would anybody use this psalm at a funeral? So far, it has shown us that God is eternal, and we humans, well, we're frail and we're destined for death. Not exactly the comforting words you want to hear at a funeral, is it? Well, if you're not asking this question yet, when you turn to the next section of the psalm, we can only ponder as why people would ever choose to use Psalm 90 at a funeral. For the next section of the psalmist outlines that God is angry with humanity. He is angry with humanity because of our wrongdoing. From verse 7, "We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan." That's a pretty scary thing, isn't it? All our secret sins are laid bare before God, and we are under his wrath. It's not a nice picture at all. It's pretty grim. The psalmist is not holding back here at all. He's kind of like that doctor with no bedside manner at all. You know, the doctor I'm talking about, the one who's just told you you've got terminal cancer. And then he proceeds to tell you that your terminal cancer is a result of your bad actions. It's just not a nice thing to say. Well, just when you thought that things couldn't get any worse, when you've hit rock bottom, the psalmist raises an even more concerning point in verse 11. "If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you." The psalmist here outlines that not only is humanity under God's wrath because of their sin, but humanity doesn't even seem to realize that they have wronged God. For humanity is too busy living in the moment to see their own sin. Now, when we stop and look around the world of us today, we see that this is still so true for us, isn't it? Our world is governed by greed and desire. It's all about living in the moment. We have sayings like, "Life is too short to live without X, Y, or Z." "Life is too short to wait. I want it all now." We even have sayings like, "Just do it." You see, despite all our knowledge, we still fail to know the power of God's anger, his rightful anger towards our sin, towards our rebellion. For we too still fail to show God the reverence that is due to him. It's a pretty grim picture, isn't it? Well, thankfully, the psalm does not finish at verse 11. With all the doom and gloom that we have seen so far, see, like most lament psalms, which Psalm 90 is, Psalm 90 has a cry out to God for help, a prayer of petition. And just like the nation of Israel, when they needed to cry out to God for help here, we too today find ourselves needing to cry out to God for his help. We too need to pray this prayer of petition from verse 12 onwards. "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy, that we may be glad all our days. Make us glad as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble." Make your deeds shown to your servant, your splendor to their children. May the favor of our Lord God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. The psalmist here is calling out to God to deliver his people, to deliver his people from their sins, to deliver his people from God's wrath, to have compassion on them. And did you notice how the psalmist did this? How he asked this? He says in verse 12, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." In other words, teach us that we are not sovereign. Teach us that our time is limited. Teach us that we are frail. Teach us to trust in God and what He's done for us. And just like parents teach their children, the psalmist asks God to teach us so that we can gain a heart of wisdom. For as Psalm 111 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, and all who follow his precepts have good understanding." See, the psalmist knows that it's only once we've been given wisdom can we call out on the Lord for deliverance. And this deliverance, it's ultimately granted in Jesus and what he has done for us on the cross. See, for us being post-Jesus Christians, when we read the Old Testament, we need to put on our Jesus glasses. Yes, we look at the Old Testament in its original context, but we must always read the Old Testament looking for how Jesus fulfills the passage. For Jesus himself said to his disciples in Luke 24, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." So with our Jesus glasses firmly placed on, we see that the true plea here in this psalm for God to relent and have compassion on his servants is answered in the gospel. It's answered in the good news about Jesus' death and resurrection. Paul puts it beautifully in Romans 3. From verse 23, he says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." This is exactly what the psalmist has just told us in the first half of the Psalm 90. That we have all sinned, we all fall short of the glory of God, we are all destined for death. But Paul continues on in verse 24 and he says, "And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that has come by Christ Jesus." God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. You see, Jesus took the punishment for our sins. Those sins that were laid bare before God, those hidden sins that you want no one else to know about, Jesus took those sins and he nailed them to a cross. He bore God's wrath upon himself on that cross. Our iniquities that have been set before God, they've been dealt with, in order that God can have compassion on his servants, thus showing God's unfailing love to us and also allowing us to sing for joy and to be glad all the days of our lives. Psalm 90 here, it portrays on one hand the somber brevity of life and the waywardness under the wrath of God. But thankfully, on the other hand, it also displays the joy and the majestic vision of the saving work of God for his servants. The psalmist here in Psalm 90, he reaches out to the eternal God in the midst of man's fleeting life and shows us that by having faith in God, having faith in God's grace, we have the hope of restoration. And this hope is the reason why so many people choose to use Psalm 90 at funerals. The hope of what Jesus has done for us in taking that wrath that we all rightfully deserved and nailing it to a cross, resulting in the fact that we can now sing for joy with gladness all the days of our lives, knowing that the favor of the Lord our God rests upon us. This is the great news of the gospel. It is all about what Jesus has done for us. All we need to do is cry out to the Lord this prayer of petition. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Lord, we give you great thanks that despite the brevity of our own lives and our ongoing rebellion, you have had compassion on us. Lord, we give you great praise that you sent your Son, Jesus, to die the death that we all rightfully deserve to die. And because of his death and resurrection, we can now sing for joy and be glad all the days of our life, knowing that your favor rests upon us. And we pray this in your Son's name and for your glory. Amen.